Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. The Mishnah had taught us, the previous Mishnayos, that the Torah, the Avodah of the Torah, was performed between the two poles of the Aron HaKodesh. We had also learned, and we'll discuss more about that on Mitzvah Shem in today's shiur, that the Aron was taken away at the end of the Beis Mikdash Rishon, and it wasn't there at all during the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. So discusses our Mishnah what was done when there no longer was an Aron. Says the Mishnah, Mishnitala Aron, after the Aron was taken away, Evan Hoysasham, Mimais Nevi'im HaRishonim, there was stone there from the days of the earliest Nevi'im. Rashi says it refers to Shmuel for David. Shasiah's house in the grass was called Shasiah. Gavoyim and Aris Shalosh Etzvos, it was 3 finger breadths higher than the ground. V'Allah HaYonosin, and that is where the Kohen Gadol would perform the Avodah of the Ketores. The Mepharshim ask, why, if the Aron was removed, did they not bring another Aron? So they explain that the point of having the Aron was to have the luchas in them, and given that there were the luchas weren't there by the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, there was no point in constructing an Aron in which there would be no luchas. The Mikdash David attempts to say a different explanation. He says, as we learned earlier, one of the other things that was hidden was the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil, and that a keli to be used to receive the Kedusha had to be anointed with that oil. And since that oil was no longer available, there was no point in building an Aron. And he discusses there, perhaps, even if the oil is not available, the fact that the Aron would be used, avodoson mechanchason, the fact that it would use, that it was available, should be enough. And he explains that perhaps yes, and perhaps that using an Aron just to hold luchas is not considered an avoida. Shemen HaMishcha is required, and it was unfortunately no longer available. Rashi had said that the stone was there from the times of Nevi'im and Rishonim, Shmuel and David. The Farshim explained that actually the stone was always there. It was there, as we were learning the shear, from the creation of the world. It was Shmuel and David that uncovered that stone. And it was called Shasiyah. Shasiyah means the foundation. Foundation of the world was from that spot. It was Shalosh Etzpos above the ground. The Mepharshim say, what does the Shalosh Etzpos represent? That we learn in Pirkei Avos that the Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Oimed, the world stands on 3 things, Al Torah, Val Avod, Val Gemilas Chasodim. So at the spot of the foundation of the world, we remember the Shalosh Dvarim Shaleim Ha'olam Oimed, the 3 things in which the world stands. We had learned in the previous Mishnayos that the Kohen Gadol had shechted the par, which was a kapara for him and the other kahanim, and then he had gone to do the avoid of the ketores, and he had left the blood of the par in the hands of someone who was mixing it to avoid the dam from congealing. So now, says the Mishnah, Notless Adam Mishai Marisboy, the Kohen Gadol now takes the blood of the par from the person who was mixing it. Nichnas Lamakam Shanichnas, he enters the place where he entered. For Amid Makam Shaman, and he stood where he stood. There are 2 ways of understanding this. One way of understanding it is that he went back to the same place where he performed the Avoid of Tyrus. Another way of explaining is that since the Aron wasn't there, we're referring back to Beis Hamikdash Rishon, that now that Beis Hamikdash Sheni, where we don't have the Aron, tells us the Mishnah, he went back and stood in the place where the Aron stood when the Beis Hamikdash Rishon was standing with the Aron there. V'hiz memenu, and he sprinkled from this blood, achas lamala, one towards the top of the kapiris, the cover of the Aron, v'sheva lamala, and 7 towards the bottom. But he did not have direct intent to sprinkle loy lamala v'loy lamata, directly to the top, directly to the bottom. He didn't have specific aim, Elk Matzlif, like a Matzlif, as we will learn in the Gemara, either Matzlif means that he went progressively one lower than the other. Other means that the first sprinkling was with his hand facing upwards, and the next one was his hands facing downwards. Pekach Yemayna, as he was sprinkling the blood, he would count Achas, one, which represents the sprinkling towards the top. Then he started the seven towards the bottom, and as he counted those seven, he said, Achas for Achas, Achas for Shtayim, Achas for Sholosh, Achas for Arba, Achas for Chomesh, Achas for Sheish, Achas for Sheish, Achas for Sheva, Yotze v'Nichoy, Akan Zor Shebehechel. And then he went out and put this blood, the remainder of the blood, on a base, on a stand in the Kodesh. He viewed as a sar, and then they brought him his goat, shachtai, he shechted it. Now we had learned earlier in the Masechta that when the Kohen Gadol shechted the carbon tamid, he only did the beginning, and somebody else completed the shechit of the carbon tamid. Regarding the shechit of the par, we had indicated that it was a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim explained that it was only the tamid that the Kohen Gadol did not complete the Shechita, but the par, the Kohen Gadol did complete the Shechita, as there is no Mishnah that clearly indicates that he did not complete the Shechita. And other Rishonim learned that just like he did not complete the Shechita of the Tamid, so too did he not complete the Shechita of the par. He only began the Shechita and somebody else completed it. So the Rishonim explained in our Mishnah that certainly according to the Shittos that and the Kohen Gadol completed the Shechita of the Par, he certainly completed the Shechita of the Sawyer. However, some Rishonim say that even if one would hold that the Kohen Gadol did not complete the Shechita of the Par, the Shechita of the Sawyer he might have completed himself. Because the Par was a big animal, it's a bull with a wide neck, so they were concerned, either Mishum Chosh the Kohen Gadol, that it's a big job for the Kohen Gadol to have to complete the Shechita, or we want the Kohen Gadol to be able to start catching the blood, and if we're going to ask him to complete the Shechita, the blood will begin flowing before he completes the Shechita. However, the sawyer, the goat, had a thin neck, and therefore they explain, certainly the Kohen Gadol could complete the Shechita. There is no concern of chosh, of weakness, it's not such a big neck. There is no concern that the blood will begin flowing before he begins the Shechita, because it was a smaller neck. The kibel b'mizrak hastamai, and then he catches the blood in a bowl. Nichnas l'makam shenichnas, from Amad makam she'amad, he goes back to that spat, that Evan shesia, v'hizim amen, and he sprinkles from this blood, achs l'mal v'shev l'mata, like he did with the dam of the par, v'kach ha'yamayna, and he counted achas v'achas achas v'shtayim yotzu v'nichal kan azov shenish v'heichel, and then he went down and put this blood down on a second stand in the kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says lo yisham ela ken echad bavad, there was only one stand, notel dama par, from which he removed the dama par which was sitting there, and now he's going to do an avoid with that dam, as we will learn. V'niach tamasar, he places down the tamasar. So the Megdash David and the Magen Avraham explain that what is the basis of the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim. So they explain the shaila is carrying out the blood from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh and Avoida. If it's an Avoida, it has to be done with the right hand, which is the way the Rabbanim will learn. They carry out, so since the Kohen Gadol is using his right hand to carry out the Dam HaSoyer from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so now when he gets to the Kodesh, he has to first put down the Dam HaSoyer, which is in his right hand. So there's a special stand prepared for that. And then he uses his right hand to pick up the Dam HaPar and continue the avoid with the Dam HaPar. However, Rabbi Yehuda learns that just removing the Dam HaSoyer from the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not considered an avoider, and therefore the Kohen Gadol could have carried the Dam HaSoyer out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim with his left hand. So when he comes to the Kodesh and now has to pick up the Dam HaPar with which he's now going to do an avoider, his right hand is open to pick it up. he picks up the dam hapar with his right hand, and then on that very same stand, he puts down the dam hasoyer with the left hand, in which he was carrying the dam hasoyer all along. And this shaila is relevant, points out the Magen Avraham, to when we read from two Sifrei Torah, the halacha is, the first we should put that, when we finish reading from the first sefer, and we're about to begin reading from the second sefer, the halacha is first we should put down the second sefer from which we're going to read, put down first, the same as first putting down the Dam HaPar, and then pick up the first sefer from which we read to do Hag B'Galila. And explain as the Magen Avraham. This is certainly understandable according to Rabbi Yehuda, but even according to the Rabbanon that said that there were two stands, they agreed that first, since the Dam HaSoyer is in his right hand, that's why they held the Dam HaSoyer should be put down first. But they certainly agree that in a case where we don't have such a situation, first we should put down the sefer that we're going to read from, the Dam HaPar, and then afterwards pick up the first sefer, the sefer that was already being used. The Mishkan of Yaakov asks a question. He says that the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim and Daf Samech Dalet that by the shechita of the Korban Pesach, that Yisrael shechted the Korban Pesach, and the Kohen did the Kabbalah Sadam, and he passed that dam from one Kohen to another Kohen until they arrived at the Mizbeach where they did Zrika. And the Gemara says there that given the choice of passing the dam that's going to be sprinkled, the pan that has dam that's going to be used to be sprinkled, or receiving back the empty pans that were going to be reused, certainly, says the Gemara, passing the pans with dam goes first. Why? Because this a mitzvah is going to be done with, and this one right now is empty. So asks the Mishkanos Yaakov, why do we learn over here the first, according to Rabbonon, they put down the Dam HaSoyer, and then they picked up the Dam HaPar? We should pick up the Dam HaPar first. Isn't that the avoider that's going to be used? So Rabbi Yoshev answers that the two Gemaras cannot be compared. In the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, one pan is full of dam, and one pan is totally empty. So the Gemara teaches us we should first pick up the dam that's completely full, that's full. However, in our Gemara, explains Rabbi Yoshev, the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSor, both pans are full. Yes, we're going to first now work with the Dam HaPar, but it's not that the Dam HaSor's pan is empty. There was dam in that pan, and that pan will eventually be used again. And therefore, the two Gemaras cannot be compared. Continues the Mishnah. Now we have in the Kohen Gadol's hand the blood of the par again, and he sprinkles it on the pleiches, shenegad arm bechutz, on the outside of the pleiches, and outside of the curtain that divides the kodesh from kodesh hakodashim. Again, achas lamala v'shevin lamata, one towards the top and seven towards the bottom. V'lo yom skaven, he didn't necessarily aim. V'kach ho yomayna. Notel dam asoyer, he puts down the dam asoyer, now he takes the dam asoyer, v'nir dam apar, again he takes the dam asoyer, because that's what the mitzvah is at hand, like we explained from the Magen Avraham, take the Sefer Torah that we're going to read from first, v'hiz v'men al ha-proiches, shekeneg naram b'chutz, again we sprinkle with that dam asoyer on the proiches, ach slamal v'shev l'mato, and the same procedure is followed. Then, says the Mishnah, he poured the blood from the par in the remaining blood from the par into the remaining blood of the sawyer for nosan samal bereken, and then he pours the bowls one into the other. Mefarshim explain why did he pour the blood of the par into the blood of the sawyer and not vice versa. So the Tosfos Shanim explains since there was more dam from the bull, it's a bigger animal. So there was more dam from there. It would mix better if we pour the amount, the blood that is more than the blood into the blood that's less. But other Mefarshim explain that the entire point of mixing the Dama Par with the Dama Sawyer is to teach us that the Par, which is the blood that was brought as a kapara for the Kahanim, should be mixed with the Dam of the Sawyer, which is the blood that was brought for the Israelim, to teach us that at the end of the day, we're all one Klal Yisrael, and the Par and the Sawyer, the Kahanim and the Israelim, all mixed together. But more than that, the Kohanim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, should not hesitate from mixing with the rest of Klal Yisrael. It's the Dam HaPor, it's the leaders who should reach out to the Dam HaSoyer, to the rest of Yisraelim, move and pour themselves and mix together with the Yisraelim for Avodas Hashem. So our Mishnah, in speaking about the Oren no longer being in the Beis HaMikdash, by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, says the Gemara, Mishenignaz Loiktani, our Mishnah doesn't use the words that the Oren was hidden, Ela Mishenitel. Our Mishnah says that the Oren was taken away. Tana, our Mishnah goes, command, the Omer is learning like the man of the holes, Oren Golol Bovel, that the Oren went to Golos and Bovel. The Tanya of Elezer Omer, Oren Golol Bovel, the Oren went to Golos and Bovel, Shenemar, was Tshuvas Hashana, at the end of the year, Sholach Melech Nevuchadnezzar sent, Yivio Bela, he sent King Yechonya to Bovel, in Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem, which, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's great article, which means the Oren. Shimon Yechoy Oymer, Oren Gol Bovel, we know that the Oren went to Gols to Bovel, Shnemar, Lo Yivosir Dover Omer Hashem, nothing would be left, said Hashem. What does that refer to? Oilu Aseris Adivish, by the Aseris Adivish went to Gols. So Mepharshim point out that we learned earlier in the Perek that Yishio hid the Oren in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yet here we see Manda Omrim that teaches that the Oren went to Golos. So a number of answers are given. One answer is given is that there were two Aronis. One Oren was the Oren in which the Luchas were, and another Oren was the Oren in which the Shivrei Luchas were in. The Oren in which the complete Luchas were in were hidden in the Beis HaMikdash, in the subterranean passages that Shlomo HaMelech constructed. The other Oren with the Shivrei Luchas went to Bavel. Another teretz given is there's a difference between the Oren and the Sefer Torah. The Luchas were kept under the Beis HaMikdash. The Sefer Torah was sent to Golos to Bavel. And yet a third pshat that the Mefarshim give is that there was a progression. First the Oren was kept under the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Afterwards the Oren was taken outside to the Dirai Eitzim, as we will learn in the Gemara, and then ultimately the Oren was taken to Bavel. Rav Yehuda says, Oren b'mekayim enignas, the Oren remained in its place. Shenemar, v'yiroa rosh ya'abadim and ha'kodesh ha'plei advir, v'lo yiroa chotza, the poles that were at the top of the poles were noticeable on top in the kodesh, and they were, yet they weren't obvious to the outside. They remain there till this very day. The Oren is there to a very day. And the Shlach Kodesh explains what is Pshat Oren b'mekayim enignas. So it says Oren b'mekayim, wherever the Oren is, there's wherever there is Torah b'mekayim, the Torah remains. Chas v'shalom to ever think that the Torah is removed from Klal Yisrael. Oren b'mekaymai, the Torah is and will always remain with Klal Yisrael. Nignas, sometimes it's more obvious and sometimes it's less obvious, but it's always b'mekaymai, the Torah always remains with Klal Yisrael. So our Mishnah that says that the Oren was taken away obviously reflects the opinion of Rav Elezer and Rav Shimon ben Yochai that said that the Oren went to Bavel. Or Pligi the Ula, and this Brisa disagrees with the way Ula understood Rav Shimon ben Yochai held, because Ula holds Rav Shimon ben Yochai held that the Oren was not taken to Bavel, rather was hidden in its place. Dom Ula. Shol Ramashi Mechorsh Rav Shimon ben Yochai Beroimi. He asked Rav Shimon ben Yochai in Rome, V'chim Ach Shavalezim Lamdenu, Pam Rishoyne V'shniya, once and twice that the Aron goal above him. So the Gemara stops to explain Ramasi ben Chorish. Mepharshim explained what was Shimon Yochai doing in Rome. Either he went there to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael against one of the numerous decrees that the Romans made against Klal Yisrael, or he went to visit Ramasi ben Chorish, who lived in Rome. Rishona, what is the first place that we see that the Oren went to Bavel Hadamoron, as we learned before, V'yivyoa Bavel and Kli Chemdes Beis Hashem, that the Oren went to Bavel. Shnei Ma'i, what's the second? That says in Pasuk, the Ksiv, V'yetzim Ibas Tzioin, Kol Hadoro, all the beauty of Klai Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael, left Yerushalayim, Ma'i Kol Hadoro, what is the beauty referred to? Chadoro. As the Mepharshim explained, in Hebrew, the letter He and Ches are easily substituted. Chador means something in a ched, in a room, something hidden in a room, which would refer to the Aron, which was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, Ramasi Mecharish turns to Rabbi Shimon Yochai and says, Atamayat Omer, what do you say? Almost Rabbi Shimon Yochai say, Shani Omer, I hold Aron Mem Kaiman Dignus, the Aron was left in the base of Migdash, hidden in the base of Migdash. Shenema v'yericho abadim, as the Gemara quoted that pasuk earlier. Amale Rava l'ula. So Rava says to Ula, my mashma, how does that pasuk of v'yericho abadim teach us that the Aron remained in the place of the base of Migdash forever? Because the pasuk says v'yu sham ad hayom hazeh, because it was there till this very day. And since it says till it was there till this very day, it means forever. Asks Rava to Ula, V'kol heicha d'ksiv ad hayom hazeh, is this true that wherever the pasuk uses the terminology ad hayom hazeh, lo'olam hu, does it mean forever? V'ksiv, it says in a pasuk in Shoftim, V'yisavusi yosh v'shalayim lo yirishu v'nei b'nyamin, the Sheva b'nyamin was not successful in driving out the Yevusim from Yerushalayim. V'yeshvu ha-Yevusi es b'nei Binyamin b'Yerushalayim. So the Yevusi remained together with Binyamin in Yerushalayim ad hayom hazeh, till this very day. Says the Gemara, Hach Nami Loigalu. Is it true that Sheva Binyamin didn't go to Golus, that they remained in Yerushalayim forever? For Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chamishim v'shtayim shana lo'yover ish b'Yehuda. For 52 years, no man passed through Yehuda. Shenamar alaharim esabechi, of the destructions of the mountains, I weep. V'nehi, and I wail. Val nois midbar kina, and upon the pastures of the wilderness, I say kinnis. Kinnitzesumibli ish over, they are parched without a person passing by. V'loi shamu kol mikna, we don't even hear the sound of cattle. Mi oifat shemayim, from the birds of the sky. Ve'ad behemon, till animals nodadu holchu, they have wandered and gone away. And the Gemara explains, behema, the word behema, is the gematria chamishim v'shtayim hava. It's the gematria 52 years. That means for 52 years, there was nothing, not even an animal, passing Yehuda. And like the Mashal explains, that what's the proof? Because the pasuk already speaks about mikna, which refers to cattle. Why does the pasuk repeat behema? To teach us the 52 years when nothing or no one passed through Yehuda. For Tanya, there's another brisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shevishonim, for 7 years, Niskaimen, Gofris, for Melech Beit Yisrael. For 7 years, sulfur and salt penetrated all of Beit Yisrael. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, my Talmud Rabbi Yossi, Asya, bris, we learn exeris shav between the word bris that it says here and bris that it says any somewhere else. Ksiv hoch v'higbe bris l'rabim shu'echad. For 7 years, shvu is a shmita, 7 years, there was this bris. Ksiv hosom v'amu ashal ozva bris Hashem elkei avoysom. Why did this happen? Because they broke their bris, their covenant that their forefathers would made with Hashem. So Mepharshim asked, the Gemara had already proved that for 52 years, nothing passed in Yehuda. Why do we need this other pasuk of Gofres for Elif? So the Mepharshim answer that from the first pasuk, I would have only known that in the hills, on the Hari Yehuda, nothing passed. How do I know that the actual city of Yerushalayim, nothing passed? That I learned from the pasuk of Gofres v'melech. And the Beis Halevi explains that the pasuk of Gafras HaMelech is a much more powerful lesson than the previous pasuk, because he explains, if somebody leaves his home, but he intends to come home, come back, he doesn't destroy his home, because he wants it to be in proper condition for when he comes home. However, if someone leaves with no intention of coming back, he destroys his previous home. Gafris v'melech, the pasuk says. It was salt and sulfur. Klal Yisrael was destroyed. The churban was so serious that there was nothing left from what Klal Yisrael had before. But back to our pasuk. Here we're saying that whatever it says out of Yom Hazeh, it's forever. And that's why we're saying that the Aron remained in the spot of the Beis HaMikdash forever. Yet here it says that the Shev Binyamin remained ad HaYom HaZeh, seemingly forever, in Yerushalayim, which we know is not true. Answers, Ul Amalei, Hachak Siv Shom. Regarding the Aron, it says, V'hiyu Shom ad HaYom HaZeh, Hasom, by the Shev Binyamin Yerushalayim, it doesn't say the word like Siv Shom, it doesn't say the word Shom. When it says the word Shom, Ula attempts to say that means it was there forever. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That just because it says the word Sham it means forever? Meisvei. It says in a pasuk, Omehem mibnei Shimon holchel ha'asir anoshim chamish meis. From the sons of Shimon, 500 men went to Har Seir. Or Platya v'Nariya Rofya v'Zia b'nei Yishi b'Roisham. These people were at their head. V'Yakus shares a plate of Amalek, and they destroyed the remnant of Amalek. V'Yesh v'Sham Adiyam Ezeh, and these people from Shimon, from this family called Shimon, remained there till this day. It says, well, we know that's not true, because we know the Kfar Ola Sancheriv. Sancheriv already came, Sancheriv Melch Asher, or Bilbel Kalaratus, and he turned over and conquered and resettled all of the people of the world in different lands. Shinem, as the pasuk says regarding Sancheriv, V'Osir Gvulas Amim, he removed the boundaries of people, Vasudiseim Shashti, and he plundered their treasures. So we see that the whole world is turned around. So it can't be that even though it says V'Yisham Adiyam Ezeh, it can't be that they remain there forever. So it must be that even when it says V'Shah Hashem, it doesn't mean forever. To Yufta, Ula's understanding of V'Yisham Adiyam Ezeh is indeed refuted. The Gvur Sari says that from this concept that the Gemara says that Sancheriv turned over the world and nobody is anymore in the original place, we can learn that even though the Torah says that we're not allowed to accept Geirim from Edoim under certain circumstances and Geirim from Mitzrayim, perhaps those dinim no longer apply because those people are no longer the same people as Sancheriv had turned around the entire world. Amar Rav Nachman Tanav Acham Aimrim Aron belishkas dera etzim ha'yigonis. The Aron was left in the place where they kept the wood in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ben Yoyod explained what is the significance of the dera etzim. Since we know that the Torah is etz chaim hi l'machzikam ba, so the Torah was kept in the place where there's etzim. Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak af anan nami tanina. Mais b'koyin echad shayim is aseik. There was a koyin that was working in the dera etzim. He saw one of the stones different. First, I say either that this stone was higher, that's how Rashi explains, than the other stone. Rabbi Eliyakim says that this tile was different than all the other tiles. Above the idea of his chaverah. So he went to tell his colleague what he saw. And he couldn't complete what he wanted to say until he died. And they knew B'yichud Sheshamar and Gunas, they were sure that that was because the Oren was hidden. And the reason he died, because the Mefarshim explained, we don't want that the Goyim should become aware of where the Oren is, or even the Teres Yisrael explains, even Jews are not supposed to know where the Oren is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that place hidden. Mayav Ovid, what was he doing? Amar Chalboy, Misasek Bekadumei Haya. He was working with his, he was playing with his hatchet, and that's what happened. Tanit Be'er Vishmol. So there's a Braisa that tells us a little more about exactly what happened. Says the Braisa, Shnei Kahanim Bali Mumin Hayu Maslim Be'etzim. There were two Kahanim who were Bali Mumin, so they can't do the Avoidah, so they were working, taking out worms from the wood. V'nishvedo Kaduma Shlechmeh V'nafla Shom, and the hatchet of one of them fell there, V'yotza Eish V'achlosoy, and a fire came out and consumed it. Some say it consumed the hatchet that fell in the place where the Aron was, and others say that it burned the Kohen who was playing with the hatchet in the Azara where the Avodah is supposed to be done. One should not be doing, should not be playing with hatchets. Rabbi Huda Rami. Rabbi Huda asks a question, going back to the pasuk that we spoke about earlier about the Badei HaOron, the poles that were near the Aron. Ksiv V'yiroh Rosh HaBadim. In one pasuk it says that the tips of the bottom were visible. The Ksiv Lo Yiroh, so they weren't visible. HaKeitzat, how is that to be understood? Nirin Vein Nirin. They were seen, but not completely seen. And the Gemara explains, Tanya Nami Ochi, V'yiroh Rosh HaBadim, they extended the poles so they could be seen. We think that the poles could not slide. They could slide. That they penetrated through the curtains and came out. So they did not come out. Hakeitzad said, how do we reconcile all these two psukim? They protruded, but didn't come out. The yotzer prach, they protruded by the curtains, but they didn't actually come out. The nirin kishnei dadi isha, they were seen like the two breasts of a woman under her garments. Shnemar, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, tzar hamar doidi li bin shad dayolin. The Torah is compared to the breast. Farshim explain that this pasuk refers to Moshe and Aaron, that just like the breast have milk, which gives sustenance to the child, so too Moshe and Aaron were the ones that were mashpia, Torah, and ruchnius to Klal Yisrael. But the Mefarshim explained further, what does it mean, nirin ve'ena nirin? What the pasuk is teaching us is that the Aaron, which represents the Shechina, sometimes nirin, sometimes the Shechina, sometimes the Yad Hashem, is very obvious, it's seen. And sometimes ain't a nirin, sometimes it's not so seen. But under all circumstances, the Shechina is with Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Amrav Ketina. B'shar Shal Yisrael Oil and Regal. When Klal Yisrael would go up to be Oil and Regal to the Beis HaMikdash. Megalal HaMes HaProiches, they would unroll the Proiches. Omaral HaMes HaKruvim, they would see the Kruvim, Shayim Urim Zeb, they were embracing one each other. For Omer Lehem, the Kohanim would tell Klal Yisrael, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, Kichiba Zochav in the Keva, like the relationship between a male and a female. And the Farshim, the Teres Yisrael, points out that the halacha is that Yisraelim may never enter the Kodesh, they can never enter the Beis HaMikdash. So how could they see all the way from the Azara what was going on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And therefore they explain that the Kahanim were the only ones that went into the Kodesh and opened up the curtains, saw how the Kruvim were embracing each other, and then came out and reported that to Klal Yisrael. The Bava Rebbe says on this Gemara, he explains that the Kruvim, as we are now explaining, represent the special relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is evident through Tefillah, the power that we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, that's pshat that the Gemara says in Masech the Brachas stuff, hey, that of Ami Rav Asi, Avgav the Havilutlu, Tleisa Bei Knishta B'Tferia, they lived in Tveria, and there were 13 children in Tveria. Lematza ela beine miude heichad avigarsi. They would daven only where they learned. Explains above the Rebbe. Here we see the connection between Torah and Tefillah. The Kruvim, which represent this wonderful connection that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Where were the Kruvim? B'makom ha'aroin. Next to the Torah. to teach us that Tefillah and Torah, both representing the special relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be kept together. One should daven where he learns. Continues the Gemara. Masr of Chizda. Rav Chizda asks, how is it possible that people saw the Churuvim? It says in the Pasuk by the Mishkan that when the Levim were in charge of transporting the Mishkan for Kalev, but when it came to carry the Aron, the halacha is that first the Kohanim would go in and wrap the Aron, and then the Levim would come to carry it. Because v'lo yavayu l'rois kavalas HaKadosh, they're not allowed to see the Aron HaKadosh. V'amo, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, this refers to b'shar hachnosis kelim l'natik shalem, when the kelim were put in their containers, even the Levim weren't allowed to see. So how was it permitted to open up the proiches that everybody should see? There's machloikas rishonim if this din that the Levim are not allowed to see the kelim, regarding which kelim does this refer. The Ramban and the Ibn Ezra say that it refers only to the Aron, and that's what our Gemara is referring to. And however, the Urayim says that it refers to all kelim are not allowed to be seen b'shas only, and that's why the Kohanim had to wrap them in the wrap in their containers first. Amr of Nachman. So Rav Nachman answers, the way to understand this is Moshe Kala. We can compare this to a bride. Kozman she beis avia, as long as she's still in her father's home, as long as she's still a Kala, tsunumi bala, she acts modestly before her husband. Kivin she bosla beis chamiya, once she gets married, she moves into her husband's home, ain't it tsunumi bala, she doesn't have to be so modest. Here too, when the Mishkan was when Klaius was only at beginning stages, that's why the Aron was kept hidden. However, later on, by the Beis HaMikdash, they were able to reveal that love that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Master Rav Chanina ben Ketina, so Rav Chanina ben Ketina asked from the Gemara that we just learned, Mas b'koin echad shemis asik, where the Kohen wanted to see the location of the Aron, and he died, so we see that the Aron should be kept hidden, and this was after the Beis HaMikdash was built. Amalei, Rav Nachman answers, this Gash comment, that story happened by Beis HaMikdash Sheni, which is after, so to speak, Klal Yisrael's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu weakened. It was like they divorced. Niskasha, once they got divorced, Chazul Chibos Rishoyna goes back to the earlier stage. And even if there's a second Beis HaMikdash, it isn't anymore what it once was, and that's why they had to keep it hidden. B'mayiskinen. Now the Gemara discusses this, that they opened up the Parayches and saw the Cheruvim. In which Beis HaMikdash are we referring to? In Eved Mikdash Rishon, if we're saying we're referring to the first Beis HaMikdash, ask the man, we have a Parayches, what is a Parayches? As we learned earlier, in the first Beis HaMikdash there was a wall, not a curtain. El Eved Mikdash Sheni, we can explain that we're referring to Mikdash Sheni. The question is, we have a Kruvim. As we explained in Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the Aron and the Kruvim were hidden, so or taken to Bavel. So how could we speak, when did this happen? Answers the Gemara, La'olam b'Mikdash Rishon. It's referring to the first Beis HaMikdash. On my Parayches, what does it mean, the Parayches? Parayches to Bavi. That even though there was a wall, there was a curtain through which to enter. And it was that curtain that was by the Ulam and by the Heichel and by the Kodesh Kodosh that was open. Domer, Rav Zera Merav, as Rav Zera Merav said, Sholosh Oysa Parayches Hai B'Mikdash. There were 13 Parayches of HaMikdash. Shiva Keneged Shiva Sharm, 7 by the 7 gates of the Azara, Shtayim, 2 more, Achs L'Pisach Shal Heichel, 1 by the opening of the Heichel, V'Achs L'Pisach Shal Ulam, 1 by the opening of the Ulam, Shtayim B'Dvir, 2 by the Kodesh Kedoshim, V'Shtayim Keneged B'Ali, and 2 more on the upper floor. Rav Achad B'Yakov Amar, he gives a different terrence. Lo'ilam B'Mikdash Sheni, there were Kruvim B'Mikdash Sheni. They weren't Kruvim like they were in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon by the Aron, but we're referring to Kruvim that Tzursa HaVekaimi. We're talking about Kruvim that were engraved on the walls. The Ksiv, Veskol Kiris Abayis, a mix of color, all the walls had designs, Kruvim, and that Kruvim with Simrais, and palm trees, Upature Tzitzim, and blossoming flowers. And it says further, the tzipa zav miyushal mechuka, they overlaid with gold, which was flattened over the engraved designs, ksev, and the pasuk says that one of the designs was kamar ish ulavayus, as a man joining in company. Mike Ma Ish Lavoyas, Omer Rabbi Rav Shela, Ki Ish Hamura Belavi Shalom, like a person who is embracing his companion, like a couple who are embracing each other. And the Mefarshim explain, this is the way we need to understand what happened by the Churban. It says that the Maral explains this, that Titus entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he had relations with a Zoyna on a Sefer Torah. Explains the Maral, it's not that that exactly happened. Rather, says the Maral, what happened, what that Medrash that tells us that Titus did that horrible act is teaching us that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we were learning till now, the Aron with the Kruvim, which represent that special relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Titus, the Churban, destroyed that relationship. Amr Shlokish. Rish Lakish says, B'shoah she'nichnasu nachem laheichel, when the Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash, ro Kruvim ha'me'urim zeh b'zeh, they saw the Kruvim joined together. Ha'tzin l'shuk, they took him out to the market for Amru. Yisrael ha'lolu, these Jews, shibur chasam bracha, that their bracha is a bracha. When they give a bracha, it's a blessing. Vaklasam klalu. Yasku b'dvarim halalu, should act with such, should do these things. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's what should be. Miyar hizilum. Immediately they debased them. Shenema komech v'dei zilua kuro arvasa. The Mephtos Rishonim points out, what's this that the Goyim pointed out about Klal Yisrael, shibur chasam bracha, v'klalasam Klala. So they explain that from the Beis HaMikdash, Bracha went out to Klal Yisrael. As we know that the Klal Yisrael brought Shivim Purim, 70 animals on Sukkot, for, which would bring a Bracha to the Goyim. So the Goyim said, from here is where the Bracha for the whole world comes. Ad Mefarshim along the same line say that the Bracha on Har Grizim and Har Evel were a Bracha for the whole world. And now the Goyim can understand these Jews who have this incredible power. This is what they have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. D.A. Hayom explains that the Goyim realize the creative power that Klal Yisrael have, Berchos and Bracha, and now they don't understand how they in the Kodesh HaKadoshim make such pictures. Ritva asks that we know that the Gemara says in Baba Basra that when Klal Yisrael were oisim mitzayin shalmakim, when Klal Yisrael acted properly, that's when the Kruvim were embracing each other. But Chas v'Shalom, Klal Yisrael weren't acting properly, then the Kruvim didn't embrace each other. So ask the Ritva, here was the time of the Churban, so certainly Klal Yisrael weren't acting properly. So how is it possible that the Kruvim were embracing each other? So some explain that Gemara is only referring to the Kruvim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the Kruvim that was standing by the Aron. Here we're talking about the Kruvim that were engraved on the wall. They were always they always had the picture of embracing each other. Others explain that this was a nes, that even though Klal Yisrael certainly weren't worthy of having the Kruvim embrace each other, it was a nes to show the Goyim and have the Goyim have this reaction that the Gemara speaks about. Another pshat that I saw is that even though the Gemara is telling us that the Goyim, that the Kruvim were embracing each other, which seems to show that Klal Yisrael was on a high madrega, Oysim Ritzayna Shamakoyim, the lesson is yes, compared to the Goyim, even when Klal Yisrael is in its lowest madrega, they're still greater, they're still better than the Goyim, and that's what this lesson of the Kruvim, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, show. Another pshat that I saw from the Nesiv Shalom, from the Slonim Rebbe, is that the lesson here is to show us the Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael lo Yishaker. Klal Yisrael remains eternal forever, and even when Chas v'Sholem, the Kruvim, even by the Churban, the Kruvim, there's a special relationship between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. But the Gra explains that when the Goyim came into the Heichel, they Klai Yisrael had a kapara on their Averis, and therefore the relationship between Klal Yisrael and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that special relationship, was reestablished. And along the same lines, the Pritzadik from Rav Tzadik HaKoyin explains that when the Goyim entered the Heichel, Klal Yisrael had a Hiru Tshuva. That Hiru Tshuva that Klal Yisrael had as the Goyim were entering the Heichel caused that special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael should be reestablished. And with that he explains the Medrash that says that in Tisha B'Av Mashiach is born. Shebiyoyim HaChorban, says the Medrash, Noilet HaMashiach. What's Pshat? He says that on the day of the Churban, on the day that Klal Yisrael come to realize and be Mahara B'Tshuva, what happened because we separated ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we haven't acted properly. Noilad Mashiach, from those here, Hurei Tshuva, Mashiach is born. And that is the beginning of the Geula. When Klal Yisrael Mahar B'Tshuva, it causes that the Kruvim embrace each other. Mashiach is born and the Geula will come.